This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Japan's leader pitches his idea of allowing global data to move freely. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Shinzo Abe is speaking at Davos today to sell countries on the idea of sharing data. Japan's economy is struggling. In December, exports saw their biggest drop in 2 years. And one way out could be crunching huge amounts of data to help develop smart cities, smart supermarkets and factories. The BBC's Joe Miller has more from Davos.
This data, you know, cannot be gathered by one country alone, because in order for machine learning to work, you need to take vast amounts of data gathered from individuals and from companies in order to teach machines to think like humans. And Shinzo Abe's message here at Davos is how we can come to some sort of framework in which we all share data so that everyone can benefit.
I still feel like that's going to be a hard sell, because there are a lot of debates within countries about how to handle data, how to share it, who benefits. So to make that a global pitch surely is going to find some resistance.
It's an incredibly hard sell. There's very little talk about the regulation, because there's extreme divergence around how to deal with not just individual data, but also corporate data. Brussels is very, very worried about individual privacy and has been the world leader in cracking down on big social networks and other big corporations in how they deal with individual data that they gather. Then you've got Washington, which is far, far more concerned about national security. Which countries get hold of data that is made in America? We've seen that blow up with the whole furore over Huawei. And Japan is somewhat in the middle of those two camps.
You mentioned Huawei, but China generally is also a sticking point here, is it not? It doesn't share its data.
Not only doesn't China share its data, China does not allow foreign companies which gather data while operating in China to take that data out of China back to their home countries. But behind the scenes here at Davos, executives from Chinese companies acknowledge that it's in their interest to sort out a system in which data can be shared.
Joe Miller, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are lower. Investors are watching Venezuelan protests against President Maduro. Analysts say he's overseeing one of the world's worst performing economies, but still has a firm grip on power. Now, the first criminal trial of UK bank executives after the 2008 financial crisis begins today. Four former Barclays employees face charges over its multi-billion dollar rescue. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
The most high-profile defendant is John Varley, who was chief executive of Barclays at the height of the financial crisis. He's on trial with three former Barclays executives. The case against them is that in the course of raising capital from Qatar, they made payments to various people in Qatar, which there is a kind of suggestion that perhaps these were bribes, if you like. The defense of Barclays and its executives is that these were payments for genuine advisory services.
So is this a landmark? Because we've seen prosecutions related to the financial crisis in Ireland and Iceland, and now in the UK, though it doesn't sound like it's to do with causing or contributing to the financial crisis directly.
That's right. At the time, there was a constant question for many banks about whether they would need government bailouts. Barclays desperately wanted to avoid that. They managed to get through the crisis without having a government bailout. But yes, it's not really one about trying to make somebody pay for the consequences of having caused it.
Andrew Walker. Now, let's go to school the Swedish way with the BBC's John Lawrenson.
So actually you can see this is the playground. It's pretty big, 7,000 square meters with many, many bushes and trees and places to hide.
You can already feel that you cannot control what happens in this huge space.
Of course there's some teachers kind of out here, but the children are able to see that it's a teacher if they need any help.
Søren Emil Markeprand, director of the Stockholm's Gava Centrum Forest Kindergarten.
So what we see here is children are more calm. The result is pretty clear, actually, when they finish here. The concentration would be much better.
We walk past some boys hunting for worms who are trying to roll a tree stump and a girl quite high in a tree. 25 years ago, a British early years teacher called Jane William Siegfriedson went to Denmark and discovered forest schools. Her initial reaction was terror, but she soon got over that and helped set up the first UK forest school before moving to Denmark and writing Understanding the Danish Forest School's Approach. The forest school movement has now spread to Australia, the US and Canada, China, Taiwan and South Korea. There is, she says, a culture gap, which has to do with the place nature and the forest hold in national consciousness.
People just seem terrified that if a child has an accident, the kindergarten or the school are going to be sued. And that is not the culture here in Denmark. Children are treated differently. They're treated as competent. As long as they learn how to use a knife safely, then if an accident happens, it's just that.
Back at Stockholm's Gava Centrum, staff member Trina Andreasen is stirring lunch in a big cauldron over an open fire.
We slaughtered 5 chickens last week.
With the kids?
With the kids, of course. And then afterwards, we put it down in boiling water, and the children helped us get the feathers off. And we opened the chicken, looked inside, and then we cut off the breast meat, and we fried it right away.
The children don't freak out when they see the chicken having its head cut off?
It's quite natural. I think compared to adults, children are more curious about it.
How many of us can say we slaughtered chickens at school? That was John Lawrenson reporting from Sweden. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.